I'm glad to be in the house of God, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I thank the Lord for it. Gospel of Luke. Find the scripture in chapter number 13. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 13. I've not been able to get away this week from the idea of God's house. God's house. I'm glad it's not up to you and up to me to make things happen, but God takes care of things at His house. It's God's house. I want to begin reading down in verse number 10. I want to preach out of this text this morning on help at God's house. Help at God's house. You may have come in the doors realizing what you needed this morning, and you may have come in thinking you needed absolutely nothing, but the reality is every one of us stand in need. The only place you can really find what you need for your soul, God has ordained it this way, is that He does some things down at His house. He supplies some things down at His house that you can't get anywhere else. I believe that with all my heart. I know He meets with you at home. I know He meets with you on a job, wherever you're at in life. But He has ordained it that we get sustenance from this local assembly. I don't understand all about that, but I sure do know He magnifies its truth in the Word of God. Verse number 10 of Luke 13 says, "And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath." Where was He? He was in God's house. Who is it talking about? This is Jesus. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, "and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, 'Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity.' And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." I want to stop reading there for the sake of time. And Father, we pray that in these moments You might put Your hand upon Your Word in a special way. Lord, You know every individual heart, Lord, that's in here this morning. God, I ask You, Lord, that we may hear another voice, God, this morning besides our voice. God, I pray that the God of all eternity, Lord, that You may see fit to come in and be among us. God, that we may hear from You out of Your Word. Lord, we'll thank You for everything You do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Help at God's house. Help at God's house. I want to notice, first of all, about this text, this woman and her infirmity. The infirmity that we find at the house of God. Now the scripture begins in verse number 10 telling us that Jesus is down at the synagogue and He is teaching, He is preaching, He is speaking the truths of His Word. Here we find the incarnate Word preaching about Himself from the eternal Word of God. That's an amazing truth in itself. And then we find that in the house of God is an infirmity. The Bible just says in verse number 10, Jesus was teaching in the house of God in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. This infirmity we find was right in the middle of the house of God. How did she get there? I don't know. But I'll tell you this much, if you know somebody that's got a spiritual problem, the best thing in the world you can do for them is get them down to the house of God. Because there's help
down at God's house. Infirmity. The Bible tells us about this woman. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Infirmity in this context means weakness, debilitation, and sickness, and infirmity. This woman realized that she was sick. The Bible tells us, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The first thing that you have to do if you're ever going to get any help at God's house is admit the fact that you are sick. Now, for some people, it's not hard for them to realize they're sick. I don't believe it was hard for this woman to realize that she was sick. Why? What was her infirmity? The Bible says her infirmity that she was bowed together. You know what that means literally in everyday language? I've heard some commentators say it just means she was bent over, but no, that's not what it means. The Bible says she was bowed together. That literally means she was bowed. I can't even do it. It's how far over she was bowed together. The idea of that is that she was bent so far over that her face would be almost touching the front of her legs. Have you ever seen anyone that was in that condition? I've ran across just maybe one or two in my life that when they walked, they looked at the floor while they were walking. That was her. She was bowed together. I don't believe it was hard for her to realize she needed some help. She had an infirmity. She was bowed together. Not only was she bowed together, but she was burdened down by this infirmity. The Bible tells us in verse number 11 there that she had had this infirmity for 18 years. I don't know about you. It just about pulled one of my leg muscles just to try that a minute ago. I wouldn't want to do that for 18 minutes. I wouldn't want to do that for 18 hours. I wouldn't want to do that for 18 days or 18 weeks, much less 18 years. She is bent over, bowed together, so far bent over that she could absolutely not even see what was in front of her. All she could see was the ground or maybe even her feet. She was absolutely in a fix. She was bowed together, burdened down by it. For 18 years. If you'll go to verse 16 and take a look, the Bible tells us what her real problem was. Scripture says Satan had her what? Bound. She was bowed together. She was burdened down by this condition for 18 years. And the reality is she was bound by sin. Reality this morning is that the lost condition of mankind is so that he is bowed together. He is burdened down. He is bound by the sin of this world. She had an infirmity. But I want to go on quickly from this to get somewhere. Not only did she have an infirmity, but she had an inability. The Bible tells us, look again in verse number 11, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. In no wise simply has this meaning completely, perfectly, utterly, unable to the uttermost to do one thing about her condition. So she was bowed over. She had been that way for 18 years. She was bound by the sin that she was in. No doubt she didn't want to be that way. No doubt she wished she could stand up like everybody else, but she was bowed, she was burdened, she was bound and absolutely unable to do one thing about it. To the uttermost, unable. Does that not describe the picture of lost humanity when you and I were without God? The term that many have used back down through the years is totally depraved, completely unable, unwilling to do anything to go in God's direction. No doubt she wished she could be otherwise, but she had no ability to do anything about it. I've heard some describe the condition of a lost man. I was thinking about when I was just a boy. I've told you about when I jumped into the pool and my daddy had to come in and get me out. But that really is not the idea of salvation. Some people think that salvation is a man drowning in a sea, waiting on God to throw out a life preserver so a man can grab onto it, but that's not it at all. Our condition as a lost person is out in the middle of the sea, on the bottom of the ocean, dead in our sin. Not even able to grab a life preserver if one were thrown out to us. It is the condition of this woman. She is bowed over, she is burdened down, she is bound, and she is unable to do one thing about her condition. No doubt I'm preaching to people this morning. You are right now bowed over. You wish you could do something about your condition, but you just can't. You've been burdened down by it for a long time. You've been bound up in your condition, and you feel like you just can't do anything about it, and that's a good way to feel because you can't. The infirmity, the inability. Here's where I wanted to get to. I want us to notice the interruption. Why do I call this an interruption? Because I do not find one place in this scripture where this woman comes to Jesus and says, "Oh God, would you help me?" It's not in the text. She never even says, "Oh God, would you do something about mine infirmity?" But the Bible does say in verse number 12 that Jesus himself interrupted where she was at. Jesus himself interrupted her infirmity. He interrupted her inability. What did he do by interrupting her? The Bible just first of all says, and when Jesus saw her. Aren't you glad that one day when you and I were in our infirmity, when we were unable, God looked at our direction and he saw us just as we are on the bottom of the spiritual sea, unable to do one thing to help ourselves. He saw her. Thank God this morning, if you're in here and you don't know God, I've got good news for you. I can't see into your heart. Mom and Daddy can't see into your heart, but there is a God who is sitting on the throne this morning. He can see into the heart, and he knows exactly where you're at and what you need this morning. He saw her. Jesus saw her. But I'm glad the Bible does not stop by saying that he saw her. I want us to notice, secondly, about his interruption, he summoned her. You see, that word called, in the Greek is prosphoneo. You didn't know I was that smart, did you? In the Greek, prosphoneo, that means he summoned her. It is a judicial term. In our everyday language, it means he did not give her a choice whether or not she came to where he was calling. The idea is this: Lainey, come here. What did I do? Did I say, Lainey, if you would, honey, would you come up here for just a minute? I mean, if it would please you, if it would be willing to you. No, Lainey, come here. It is a summons. Get here now. Yep. Amen. Sit down right here. I'm gonna I'm going to get you up again in just a minute. He saw her. He summoned her, come here to me. She was sitting, no doubt close, or standing, no doubt close to where Christ was. Probably never had seen him. Because all she could see was the ground, all she could see was her feet. But oh, I'm glad that when you and I can't see him, when we can't sense him, when we don't know how to get to him, aren't you glad he sees you and he sees me and he knows how to get you right to where he wants you. Summoned her. He called her. The Bible didn't just say he called her, but he called her to him. I love it. I love it. He called her, come here, get right beside where I'm at. He saw her. He summoned her. He calls her right to his side. Thank God. J.I. Packer said this. He said, it is a calling that creates the response which it seeks. Think about that for just a minute. When Christ says, come here and get right here, right now, he is going to create the response that he is seeking. It is not whether or not you want to, but I'm telling you this morning, if God ever speaks to your heart just right, there's going to be something in you that wants to go in his direction like you never have before. He saw her, he summoned her, and then he spoke to her. How did he speak to her? Did he say, my goodness, you look ridiculous walking around like that? How long have you been that? No, the Bible says that he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. I believe when he called her to his side, I believe he probably put his hand on her shoulder and said, it's going to be all right. I know you've been this way a long time, but it's going to be all right. I'm about to loose you and take care of everything that's been going on in your life. I'm glad when God calls us to himself. He does it in a way that unlocks our heart and takes care of a million problems in our life all at one time. How? How does he do that? It's going to be all right. To let us know he's on the throne and he's the only one that can do anything about our situation. He saw her, he summoned her, he spoke to her. But then notice, not only did he speak to her, but then the Bible says that he straightened her. Verse number 13, and he laid his hands on her. Come here, Laney. I know you can't bend over that far either, maybe, but try it. He saw her. Come here to me now. She got beside him. It's going to be all right. I'm about to take care of this for you. The Bible just said he laid his hand on her. That's it. You mean it was, oh yeah, it's that simple. It's that simple. 18 years. She's walked around like this. All of a sudden, the hand of the master touched her. What in the world do you think she would have done? The Bible says, and she glorified God. I don't think she turned to her neighbor and said, well, it's the first time I've ever been like this. It's hard for me to believe. You know what I believe she did? I believe she looked around. She found Jesus, grabbed him around the neck. And then she probably took her running spell and said, well, glory to God, for the first time ever, I am able to walk. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you are in your infirmity, if you are unable to get yourself off the bottom of the sea, thank God when he reaches in and gets you and straightens up your life, there will be something in you that just has to glorify the matchless name of our blessed bloodstained Redeemer. I thank God this morning that one day when I was unable to help myself, when I was on the bottom of the sea, when I was unable to help myself, thank God He came to where I was and He did something for me that I could not do for myself. And I'm glad that when He does that, there'll be something that boils up out of your heart and just has to glorify Him. Thank God this morning for the God of the house. I'm glad when He gets you down to the house of God, He and He alone can help you. You might be in here this morning and you've got an infirmity. You might be here this morning and you're bowed down. You're burdened down. You're bound by sin. Thank God when Christ comes to where you're at, He and He alone can speak to you. He and He alone can call you to His side. And He alone can straighten you up. And when He does, there will be something that comes out of you that just wants to praise Him, that just wants to bow down before Him and thank Him for everything that He's done for you. Boy, I'm glad that one day He came to where I was when I wasn't looking for Him. I didn't say, Jesus, would You come help me? But all of a sudden, before I even realized it, He had called me. And that same voice that called me put in my heart the response to go in His direction, because He is already sitting right beside me. I thank God for that this morning. You might be in the house of God and you don't know Him. It'd be a good morning to just ask Him. Ask Him to slip to where you're at and straighten up your mess. As we stand all over the building, Miss Kathy, if you will come. Brother Chad, you come get a song. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning. Thank God that there is help. There is help at the house of God. You may have come in even this morning and you're saved, but you carried a burden. You're bound down by some stuff. I'm glad He helps save people. He helps lost people. He'll do for you whatever it is you need this morning. Every last one of us came in this place with a need on our heart. Aren't you glad He don't just leave you and say, just make it however you can? Thank God time and time and time and time again. In my own life, I've heard Him tell me, get over here. Let me straighten this out for you. If you're in here this morning and you need Him, I'm glad, thank God, He's near. And when He gets near, business is picking up in your life.